WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot.
I'm frightened because people think he deserved to die because he just voiced his opinion.
The killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk is putting a chill on speech, says Washington University student Kieran Laffey, chair of the George Washington University College Republicans, and it's accelerating the fear for public servants as well.
Capitol Police have told us that the number of threats against lawmakers just this year is on pace to nearly double the previous record. They are expecting that they're going to have to deal with some 14,000 threats against lawmakers. The president's message in all of this is that lawmakers must move forward, calling politics dangerous business.
ABC Selena Wang. The suspect in the Kirk killing has his first court appearance Tuesday in Utah. A Utah man has been arrested for an explosive device found underneath a news vehicle in Salt Lake City. It was lit, but did not go off. This is ABC News. Unless Congress votes to extend subsidies, millions will face skyrocketing health insurance costs. Some have already gotten the letters. Insurers have sent out notices in nearly every state, with some proposing premium hikes as high as 50%. The Federal Trade Commission is investigating seven tech companies, citing worries that human-like AI chatbots can potentially harm children and teens. Relationship experts say that it could also destroy marriages. Here's Coach Jackie DeRosario.
A chatbot learns you. So it knows what you need, what you like, and it's going to be very difficult for someone that's human to measure up to someone that's always batting at 100.
Take the last train across Bill, and I'll meet you at the station.
Bobby Hart, key part of the Monkees' multimedia empire, has died. He teamed with Tommy Boyce on hits like this one, Last Train to Clarksville, and I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. Bobby Hart was 86. He originally wanted to be a radio DJ. Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
The Cards close out the series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Cardinals this afternoon, 3-2, here at American Family Field. St. Louis able to snap a five-game losing streak after being swept in Seattle, then losing the first two of three here in Milwaukee. So the Brewers, now the first team in the major leagues to clinch a playoff spot, have tomorrow off, then travel out west to play the Angels in L.A. Tuesday night. On Friday, they'll be in St. Louis to begin a three-game weekend series against the Cardinals, and then the following Monday, they'll be back home to start a series against the San Diego Padres. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers struggled on offense. Center Jake Renfro had to lead the game with an injury. The next two centers had trouble snapping the ball to quarterback Danny O'Neill. Alabama got rolling and beat the Badgers 38-14.
Well, that's obviously not easy to swallow, and the truth of the matter is I told those guys that was a much better team than we are right now.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 60. Sunshine for Monday, highs in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy, 59 Monday night. On Tuesday, sunny with a high near 86. Wednesday, mostly sunny, 85. Slight chance of a shower on Thursday with a high near 83.
Right now, it's 80.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Monday morning, we'll check in with former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin.
And don't miss it, episode 501 will be coming your way.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
92.7 WMDX, Madison, living side by side with Sandhill Cranes.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinaire on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinaire, who is currently on vacation, resting, relaxing. We'll be back before you know it, but you got me today. You got the sweet Cal B, the board lord, the Calvinator, this Calvitini. I think that's all of them. But he is on the ones and the twos. He's here with us today. And of course, the wonderful, the sparkling, the effervescent, the award-winning Angela Lang is the founder and executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Community. She has been our co-host all morning and will be here throughout the rest of the show. We're talking about a lot of things. You can be part of that conversation by calling or texting. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter. Lot going on. We said earlier that we were going to have Bennett Goldstein on the show at 10:06 to talk about his article in Wisconsin Watch about the food share program in Juneau County. Unfortunately, Bennett was not able to join us anymore, so we will hopefully get him rescheduled for another time, because I do want to talk about that issue, because that program, the cuts made by the federal government, how it's affecting our farmers, our families, our community, our hungry. This is something we need to talk about a lot. But yeah, hopefully we'll have Bennett on sooner than later. And we're going to keep this conversation going. In the first hour, I'll give you a really quick recap. First hour, we opened up with some breaking news. There has been an arrest in Utah. A suspect is in custody in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk, which took place at college campus on Wednesday in Utah. Right now, all we know is his age, 22 years old. He is a white male, Tyler Robinson. He was turned in by a family friend or family member who saw him on television, and currently cable news is spinning that into 3 hours of content, but good on them. But that is what we know right now, and we'll give you more as we find out. Stick here with civicmedia.us/news, where we're going to be reporting things as they come in. And we were talking to Angela about a flurry of things, our thoughts on the whole situation with Charlie Kirk, how it is possible to hold two thoughts that are both true and fair. What it means for our country, how America is reckoning with our past all of a sudden because of the death of this right-wing commentator, and what that says to the greater quote-unquote good of our society, all sorts of things, including a protest, Angela, that you whipped together along with people, you and friends, and you and colleagues, you and coworkers, you and supporters, protested the police protest. If you want to listen to all that, I'm not going to give you a total recap. Go to civicmedia.us/shows. Find Matinaire on air. Yeah. Find Matinaire on air. You can download the first hour of this episode today right now and put it right on your device and listen to everything we've talked about. But I'm going to keep the conversation kind of where we're at in the from the first hour and the second hour. And we were talking before we went to the news break. We talked about the article that you wrote for the Recombobulation Area that was put out on the 9th of September entitled "Weaponizing the National Guard is Fascism." And I'm going to stop there and let you talk. Go ahead.
Yeah. So a little bit of like my writing process is I am not the most creative when it comes to like headlines and titles and stuff like that. So I always kind of work generally with Dan and try to come up with something. But I put this as a placeholder, weaponizing the National Guard as fascism, just like as a placeholder, didn't really think anything of it. But it's also like, that's what it is. Like, it's let's cut to the point. And it's not lost on me to understand what is happening currently in DC, what has happened in LA, and then now Chicago. And I'd always been concerned, just given our proximity to Chicago, just a short little train ride, you know, up the street, right, to come to Milwaukee. And to have the police association almost seize this as an opportunity, as leverage for their contract negotiation, to me is only another piece of the puzzle in fascism, right? And I'm not going to say I'm like our good friend Matt Rothschild, that's like an expert on fascism, right? I haven't written books or anything, but I took a couple college courses. And one of the main tenets of fascism is using the military on its own residents and its own citizens. And so to have already law enforcement that don't really have a good relationship with the community saying we're going to further militarize your community. So not only do you have local law enforcement to be anxious about, but they're also calling in the military. And I think it's interesting to say that they wanted to call in the military because it's basically saying that they're not doing their job, that they need reinforcements. But then simultaneously, in the same breath, they're calling for a nearly 13% raise.
Yeah.
So all of that doesn't make sense to me. But this article was really inspired by when I was on the Maggie Dawn show a little while ago. I'm on every other Tuesday with her. And this kind of started to be the topic. And I texted Dan and I was like, I don't know if you saw the first 30 minutes of Maggie's show. This is the op-ed. I've been kicking around an idea. I was like, this is it. Because I think, you know, when people think of the National Guard, I think people think of like, oh, yeah, well, there's crime. And of course, it's going to be helpful. This has nothing to do with public safety. And it has everything to do with trying to get residents and civilians to submit to the government, and largely Black and brown folks. It is clear that the Trump administration is targeting cities that are not only Democratic cities, but cities with Black mayors of Milwaukee has one. And so I wanted to kind of connect these pieces that, you know, law enforcement is not a lot of people's friends. They're not my friends. And to have them adding to this agenda, right, of basically this Trump agenda of trying to have these militarized occupations of Black and brown cities is only just being a tool, not only for white supremacy, but for fascism.
And something that's really kind of, you know, rattled around in my brain listening to all of this discussion, especially when it comes to Milwaukee, because that's where I live closest to, and that's where I actually live almost smack in the middle between Kenosha and Chicago. I mean, between Kenosha, Chicago and Milwaukee. But, and I remember when you were on 2 weeks ago, we were talking about this. We were talking about this thing because J.D. Vance was in La Crosse. He was addressing a bunch of people in La Crosse, not people in Milwaukee. And I want to play that clip for you really quick. Calvin, can you play that clip?
Is Milwaukee a super safe city right now? It's had some crime problems. It's a beautiful city. There are a lot of beautiful, incredible, hardworking people who live there. But let's be honest, Milwaukee has had some crime problems. So have other parts of our community. Chicago, I know we're not too far from Chicago. Chicago's had a lot of crime problems. Why is it that you have mayors and governors who are angrier about Donald Trump offering to help them than they are about the fact that their own residents are being carjacked and murdered in the streets? It doesn't make an ounce of sense.
So
not to make light, but it's like the Mean Girls clip. She doesn't even go here.
stop trying to make Milwaukee a thing.
Stop trying to make the National Guard happen.
oh, man. Thank you for that. There's a bunch of I wanted to play that clip because there's a bunch of things in my brain that I want to unpack from what you said to what he said to the whole situation. first of all, let's start here because we got a caller 2 weeks ago who wanted to bring up the crime issue in Milwaukee. Yeah. Every community has crime. And I remember who it was who called. I remember having the conversation. I remember pulling up the information from the Milwaukee Police Department itself, showing that the crime in Milwaukee, especially violent crime, has gone down. That's great. Let's applaud that for one thing. But if the crime, and you live in Milwaukee, the crime is not bad enough, in my opinion, especially if it's going down, that would necessitate the National Guard. If you would need the National Guard, it's because I'm thinking of literally like a comic book type of problem happening. Like the like big boss. Yes. Like Gotham is, or zombies. And I'm not even saying it to be funny because that's when I think of the National Guard coming in the city. I'm using that to paint the picture of when we bring in the troops, it's because we have this overwhelming force that is truly getting the better of us and we need reinforcements. Milwaukee's crime problems, their statistics, I'm not going to say crime problems, their crime statistics do not suggest that we need that kind of help. And if you, as whether it's the police chief or the mayor or the president of the police union, who I don't know why we're looking at him for, like, it's the mayor who needs to talk to the president about this and maybe the police chief themselves. Or wait, Alex Ayala is the police chief, isn't he?
He's the police association president.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what I thought. So, if there are such problems, that to me says, no, don't call in the National Guard. Talk to our elected representatives, our local and state and federal, and work on a set of parameters that would have investment from the federal government come in and help with programming that would help bring the crime down, whether it's substance abuse, whether it is gang violence, whether it, I mean, there's a whole host of things. There are ways of doing this. Sending the troops in isn't the way to fix this. No. It will stop it for a moment. And yes, of course, crime in DC has gone down. When there are 2 and 3 people with machine guns on the corner, when there are ICE agents at train stations asking people for their IDs and where they're going, of course, crime is going to go down. You know what else is going to go down and what's going to leave? Business, investment. Yep. Opportunity, people,
tourism.
It is. I have a friend who has a house in DC. I don't know how they do, but they do. And they said that their home value has gone down. I think it was 10 or 15% because of this. Mm. So you're not only trying to intimidate the people, you're trying to crush their economies. If you really want to make a real change, if you really want to help with crime because you care that much, then you invest in the communities through dollars and activism and organizing. That's how you do it. And by the way, as a one last aside, the way J.D. Vance paints it is so disgusting. As, well, I don't understand why they don't want our help. Shame on you. Shame on you, sir. You are not that dumb. The guy who called Donald Trump America's Hitler. I just want to reiterate that point. But you really want to help with crime, folks? And folks, I've been wanting to say this for a couple of weeks now, Angela, and I want to say it now here with you. I've noticed that a lot of people who used to call and say how Donald Trump was doing an amazing job and how he's winning aren't so much, because the things we're talking about are becoming exponentially worse in his unfettered and unabashed attempt at taking over as the national cop of this country. They can't defend it, because if they defend it, they're in support of it. And they're in support of anti-American sentiment, rhetoric, and actions, period. Phone lines are really quiet on that one.
I mean, it's really interesting that folks that are like, oh, freedom, or even folks that advocate for the Second Amendment because they want to have the Second Amendment against a tyrannical government. What are we doing here? We're real quiet.
Yeah.
Now that's the whole argument for the Second Amendment, right?
I thought we were making America great again. Nobody out there? Okay, cool. Okay, awesome.
Phone lines are open.
855-752-4842. Change my mind. Make it make sense. I want to see you give me some information. I want plausible, data-driven information that says that America is getting better. And don't give me the stock market, because I can get into 3 hours on that one. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Text in the word family on your Civic Media app. When we come back, we're still talking to Angela Lang, our co-host for today. She is amazing. go read her article in the Recombobulation area. Weaponizing the National Guard is fascism. When we come back, keep on talking, be part of the conversation. Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned, stay close.
WMDX, helping to keep Madison weird.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Now is the moment we've been waiting for. With new treatments emerging in the fight against Alzheimer's and all other dementia, now is the time for hope and for action. Held in over 600 communities nationwide, the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's is the world's largest fundraiser for care, support, and research to fight the disease. So get out, get moving, and join WMDX at the Walk to End Alzheimer's on Sunday, October 5th at Warner Park in Madison. Join the movement at alz.org/walk.
If you love animals and want to help in Dane County, shop, donate, or volunteer at one of Dane County Humane Society's thrift stores. They sell gently used and new clothes, home goods, toys, furniture, and more. All proceeds support the comfort and care of animals in need. Dane County Humane Society thrift stores. Shop Thrift Store West on Watts Road and Thrift Store East on High Crossing Boulevard. Visit giveshelter.org/thrift to learn more.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently on vacation, resting, relaxing. But don't worry, she'll be back before you know it. And I'm here with you with Sweet Kelby on the boards and Angela Lang, who is our co-host for this morning. She is the founder and the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Talking is difficult, all right? It's difficult. You try it sometime. She's here talking with us today about all the news going down, including the breaking news out of Utah and regarding the shooting death of Charlie Kirk. The suspected gunman is in custody right now. 22-year-old Tyler Robinson from Utah is being questioned by the police right now. We're learning more as we go along. But as far as we know, we know his name, his age, as well as the fact that he was turned in by a family member when they saw him on television. But stick close to us. We'll have more information because we have a lot more programming coming through as well after us, after Matt and Air on Air. It's time for the Tom Hartman Show from 11 to 2, where you will have a chance to enter to win some Brewers tickets again. And then after that, it's going to be Todd Alba from 2 to 4. More ticket availability. Same with Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Same with Pete Schwabba and Nightlife. You've got so many chances to win. All you do is take out your Civic Media app, and every time you hear a new keyword, you text it in correctly, and then you're entered in to win. Today, this show, until the end of this hour, your word is family. F-A-M-I-L-Y. I had to think about that, Angela. I am terrible.
I saw the look on your face. Well, good thing it's radio. But unless you're on the Civic Media app, you know.
Unless you watch on the live stream, which we're on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter. Yeah, I had to look a moment where, you know, when a computer reboots for a second, you're like, yeah, there we are.
Yeah, yep.
We're talking about everything going down, including also a protest that Block put together to protest the police in Milwaukee. An article that Angela wrote for the Recombobulation Area entitled Weaponizing the National Guard is Fascism. And, you know, again, when you're on the show, I wish we had 7 hours because I feel like we could fill every minute and still need more.
Sure can.
Because, I mean, this is something, and I want to go back really quick to something I just said. And I know I came off snarky. I get it. But we're not getting a lot of people calling to defend him anymore. Yeah. I'm not saying they've changed their mind. I'm just saying they can't outwardly defend him because it's difficult, because the moment you defend it, you have to personally reckon with the idea that you are saying that the man who's standing in that office saying vile, hateful, terrible things about various people, groups, cities, organizations, you name it, anyone who wrongs him is against democracy, against America, the enemy, essentially. You're all the enemy, whether it's the media, whether it's nonprofits, whether it's, you know, city mayors, cities on the whole, they're all the enemy. And at what point do you become the enemy? Because you won't be good enough one day that your devotion will not, because no matter who calls in to defend it in the past, I'm going to bet top dollar they're not billionaires. Because those are the people who will be left, the people who can give.
Yep.
Even those folks who are diehard MAGA with a picture of Trump next to a picture of Jesus, and I'm not even being funny right now, that's true.
That's the thing.
They won't have enough influence to keep them from being part of the problem eventually.
Like, do you think he cares about you?
No. God, I don't. And
no.
We had a gentleman on named Will Westmoreland. He's a farmer from Missouri. And his thought was, you know, you don't have to tell me that you were wrong. Just tell me that you were lied to. And once you realize that, let's do this. Let's work together. I'm not here to or say I told you so. Like that. It doesn't do us any good. The moment you come to the realization that maybe this isn't the mode or version of America you want, that's when we come together and we start working, because right now we're slowly having our options being robbed from us.
It's interesting that, like, they're supposed to be the party of, like, freedom and liberty and, you know, and when those freedoms are taken away, you're cheering it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do you not see how those two things are in conflict? You can't be the patriots. I want to have this country and then be silent when all of your rights are being taken away as a citizen.
Yeah. And when
how
you
is that freedom?
And when you hear people online who happily go, well, maybe we need some authoritarianism or some fascism or a dictator. Maybe we need that. Those people are grifters. Those are the people who want to be called out online so they can say they've lost their job, they can set up a GoFundMe, and make their rent for the next 10 years. Don't listen to those people. They're not right. If you truly believe in your country and you truly believe in the motto of what we do here, freedom, liberty, justice for all, which is another conversation because terms and conditions apply. But if the same viewpoint you have towards freedom was the same, like, say, 25, 30 years ago, you got to get on board with the fact that this isn't looking right to you. You got to finally admit it. You don't tell me you're wrong. Tell me you were lied to.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is, like, there was a whole document, Project 2025.
Yes.
And people didn't believe it. And we try to warn people and they're like, that's so ridiculous. That can't happen. That's not constitutional. That wasn't the point.
Yeah.
The Constitution clearly doesn't matter to these folks. And we try to warn them. And I've said this before, is that people were willing to be played then listen to Black and brown folks, specifically Black women, when we try to warn them. And now look at where we are.
Yep. We are currently in the FO portion of the story, I feel like. So.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're going to keep the conversation going throughout the day with all of our friends about these topics, as we are pro-democracy. We're here for the discussion. But we're going to turn the discussion to sports with Paul Noonan. There's a left turn right there. Sports with our sports guru, Paul Noonan. He is a writer for the Acme Packing Company, talking all things Packers, Brewers, and other sports that may be happening. I have no idea. But stay here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
92.7 WMDX, a mad city state of mind.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot.
I'm frightened because people think he deserved to die because he just voiced his opinion.
The killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk is putting a chill on speech, says Washington University student Kieran Laffey, chair of the George Washington University College Republicans, and it's accelerating the fear for public servants as well.
Capitol Police have told us that the number of threats against lawmakers just this year is on pace to nearly double the previous record. They are expecting that they're going to have to deal with some 14,000 threats against lawmakers. The president's message in all of this is that lawmakers must move forward, calling politics dangerous business.
ABC Selena White. The suspect in the Kirk killing has his first court appearance Tuesday in Utah. A Utah man has been arrested for an explosive device found underneath a news vehicle in Salt Lake City. It was lit, but did not go off. This is ABC News.
The Cards close out the series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Cardinals this afternoon, 3-2, here at American Family Field. St. Louis able to snap a five-game losing streak after being swept in Seattle, then losing the first two of three here in Milwaukee. So the Brewers, now the first team in the major leagues to clinch a playoff spot, have tomorrow off, then travel out west to play the Angels in L.A. Tuesday night. On Friday, they'll be in St. Louis to begin a three-game weekend series against the Cardinals, and then the following Monday, they'll be back home to start a series against the San Diego Padres. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers struggled on offense. Center Jake Renfro had to lead the game with an injury. The next two centers had trouble snapping the ball to quarterback Danny O'Neill. Alabama got rolling and beat the Badgers 38-14.
Well, that's obviously not easy to swallow, and the truth of the matter is I told those guys that was a much better team than we are right now.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickle. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Superman and Lex Luthor teaming up together? What is this world coming to? Before you know it, cats and dogs will be living together. Variety has announced that the sequel for this summer's hit Superman is in motion. If you thought the first one was a spectacle, the follow-up promises an even bigger nemesis will face off against the unlikely duo. James Gunn's Superman, starring David Corenswet, made $613 million worldwide and was a big first swing for the DC Universe, a company where Gunn currently serves as co-CEO. James Gunn says the sequel will be as much a Lex Luthor film as it will be a Superman film. The director says he loved working with Nicholas Holt, who played Luthor, and really identified with the Luthor character. Yikes. A couple other tidbits from Gunn's Superman world. The director says Supergirl, starring Millie Alcock, is on the schedule to be released in 2026. Superman, Man of Tomorrow, will start filming in 2026 and be released in 2027. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 60. Sunshine for Monday, highs in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy, 59 Monday night. On Tuesday, sunny with a high near 86. Wednesday, mostly sunny, 85. Slight chance of a shower on Thursday with a high near 83.
It's 79 degrees right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
We're joined at 5 p.m. by Wisconsin Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ryan Sternand. We dig into why he's running and what he proposes for Wisconsin's future.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently vacating, relaxing and resting, and will be back before you know it. Word is she might be coming back on Monday. Oh, we have to stick around and find out. But you got me for the rest of the hour, along with Sweet Cal B on the boards, my co-host for today. Our co-host, not mine, our co-host, the community. She belongs to all of us. She belongs to no one. She's her own woman. That's Angela Lang. She is the founder and executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities, also a contributor to the Recombobulation Area, for which she has won awards. So she is here all morning with us. And it is Friday, but that's okay. He couldn't come on. Well, he wasn't on Thursday. We had some things going on. We have him here today. It's our sports guru, sports writer from the Acme Packing Company, Mr. Paul Noonan. How are you doing this morning, my friend?
I mean, I'm doing great. It's probably good this is on Friday because we got an extra Packer game in. And it was a
2-0 in 4 or 5 days?
Yep, 2-0 in 4 or 5 days. And again, two of the best teams in football from last season.
Yeah.
Things change a lot from year to year. We'll see how. I think the Lions have to be on fraud watch a little bit, but it's also possible the Packers are just a buzzsaw because they haven't just won these last two games. They have absolutely destroyed both teams. Their defense, in particular, has been just an absolute buzzsaw. The Micah Parsons edition, I don't think could be understated in its importance. They really just needed a pass rush to kickstart everybody else. After him, everybody's fast. This is one of the fastest teams in football. Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker are like the fastest linebackers in football. Evan Williams in the safety area is one of the fastest safeties in football. Gary and Lucas Van Ness are two of the most athletic other edge rushers besides Parsons. And once he's pressuring quarterbacks, there's no place to throw. The coverage has been sticky. The Packers have been an offensive-based team for as long as I've been alive. They've had a smattering of good defenses here and there. This may end up being the best defense they've had since like the Lombardi era. They look that good this early.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a question, and I don't mean I'm not a youth. I don't know how the kids talk. I don't know how. I don't want to directly contradict you, though, Paul. But in the Acme Packing Company, according to your colleague Justice Mosqueda, said Packers beat Commanders 27-18 in what should have been a blowout. Now it looked like a comfortable victory when I was catching up. I'm like, all right, they're winning, great. But apparently,
So Justice is right about that. But that is not because of the defense did anything wrong.
Okay.
Just the 18 points the Commanders scored a late touchdown. Deebo Samuel got one that where the Packers were just trying to run clock. That's not the thing. They left points on the field. Poor Matthew Golden, the Packers rookie wide receiver, who looks very, very good, but hasn't had production to match yet. He had two targets in this game. Both of them were overthrows by Jordan Love. Both of them would have been touchdowns. One was underthrown when he was wide open in the middle of the end zone and should have been an easy touchdown. And one would have been like a 97-yard touchdown that he overthrew by like an inch and a half. Those plays should have worked, frankly. They resulted in, I think, a turnover on downs for the first one. And then there was also just a random holding in the NFL is a call that I feel like officials sometimes make just to keep things interesting, because there's holding on every play. And so you can always call it.
Yeah.
And so they do. On the Packers' third drive, I believe it was, after they had already scored twice, there was a holding penalty that just wasn't. It was one of the rare plays when there was not an actual holding penalty that occurred, and it just doomed the drive. It moved them from 2nd and 2 to 2nd and 12, and that drive likely would have resulted in points, too. They left points on the field. I mean, one of the scariest things about this Packer team is that's two games in a row where I think they've left a couple touchdowns on the field just by little tiny issues, little overthrows, little things they did wrong. They can get better. They have dominated these games while not being perfect. Mm-hmm. If they put a perfect game together, like it's going to be like a 40-point blowout. And I think that's really what Justice meant here.
What I think is Oh, I understand. I just wanted to start a little tiff because I'm a sassy boy. I feel like, you know, that can be equated to like, well, how long would basketball games be if they called everyone for traveling?
Yeah,
because sometimes I'm like, wow, yeah. you're not even trying to bounce the ball right now. You're just walking up to the hoop and just being like, nope, I get this because I'm me. There you go. I mean, you know, it's fine to be confident right now. I think, you know, this victory last night, the victory on Sunday, both described as comfortable, good wins, and moving forward. Is there anything that they need to be on the lookout for besides, like, you know, of course, potential injury and injuries that, you know, they really need to keep an eye on moving forward? They don't take their eye off of it so they don't lose sight of what's going on.
So the main thing the Packers have going against them, and the entire NFC North does, they have one of the hardest schedules in football. They don't have a ton of easy games. One of their easier games is their next one against Cleveland. But even Cleveland is pretty good, except for their quarterback play. Cleveland famously employs like five quarterbacks right now. They drafted Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders in the draft and still have Joe Flacco. And they like traded Kenny Pickett. And they lost in week one because of that. But the Packers also did suffer one pretty major injury. Jaden Reed did break his collarbone in this game on a very, very good effort to catch a ball. Did a nice job. He's supposed to be out about 6 to 8 weeks. It's a blow for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, Jaden Reed is an important part of the offense. It is also a part of the offense where they are particularly deep. For all of Jaden Reed's gifts and contributions to the offense, he's limited to play. He's a small guy. He's limited to playing just in the slot, which is the area next to the line of scrimmage. It's where the little shifty guys play. And it's where Matthew Golden will almost certainly just step right into that role. I'm not saying he's as good as Jaden Reed. He's a rookie. You never know. Mm-hmm. But he's as good a backup as you could possibly have to step in there. Their outside receivers are still going to be Dontavian Wicks and Romeo Doubs, who are both off to good starts as well. And as long as they don't suffer additional injuries, they should be in good shape and able to weather this until he gets back, until Reed's back. So that is one thing to keep an eye on. Reed's good. It certainly hurts them, but it's the position where they can absorb injuries the best of any position on the team.
This is one of those moments where I always say this is a reason to watch the live stream, because when Paul said broke their collarbone, both Angela and I both went, because feel it snapping in your body. And you're like, no, this hurts. Calvin, do you have any thoughts?
It's a good injury. It's also an injury that also repeats itself. When he comes back, it's worth keeping an eye on. Collarbones are one of the bones that do not heal stronger, and they are vulnerable after you break them once. So it's worth keeping an eye on that, too.
Calvin, any thoughts you have on what's going on?
Well, I guess just more of a question as sort of an aside about the Packers receiving depth. Is there any chance that Christian Watson is going to play this season?
So there is probably a chance, but it won't be until very, very late. For those who don't know, Christian Watson at the end of last season suffered a pretty catastrophic knee injury. The Packers did just extend him this last week. He was going to be basically a free agent at the end of the season, and both the Packers and Christian Watson don't really want that. Nobody's going to pay for a receiver with the kind of injury he had until he shows that he can recover from it. And the Packers honestly could use Christian Watson. They still lack for deep threats a little bit. Romeo's been good so far, but it's not really his wheelhouse. And so they signed kind of a prove-it contract for next year. The timeline for the level of knee injury he has can be up to a full year, and it's just really monitoring how he progresses. If he is back, it probably won't be until like November at the earliest, more likely December. And it is entirely possible he just misses the whole season. It was a bad one. There was a lot of damage to a lot of ligaments in that knee, and it's a long recovery period. So it'd be nice if they got him back like in time for the playoffs. He is a difference maker, but it's very speculative on how really you won't know how he recovers until he actually gets back out there and starts running. He's done a little bit. He's looked good so far, but there's still a ways to go.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Paul Noonan, who is our sports guru here on Matt and Air on Air. He comes by every week to talk about all things sports balls and football and basketball and baseball and all the things happening. We're talking about the Packers' win yesterday against the Washington Commanders. And Angela, I think you and I are in the same realm of football fandom. Like, we like football. We'll watch it. It's not our driving sport. But like as a casual Packer fan, how do you know, just seeing the victories, you're like, this just makes my day brighter.
Yeah, it's great. Also, my big thing is as long as we beat the Bears, I'm good. It's a good season if we beat the Bears. Bears still suck. That's it.
There you go. Put that in the headlines. As long as we beat the Bears, Angela Lang is fine.
I am. I'm happy.
Yep. We got some revenge to get there, too. I mean, they were not good against the Bears last season. They the one they won was on a blocked field goal on the last play of the game. So, you know, it'd be nice to actually hurt them, not hurt them physically, but beat them by a significant amount this year.
We would like to defeat them on the battlefield of the squared rectangle. So
they are a mess so far, by the way. So
of course they are, Paul. No matter what a Bears fan tells me in the preseason, never.
It is amazing how much history repeats itself with the Bears. I know Bears are a ways away here, but right before this, they drafted a quarterback in Justin Fields. They had a bad offensive line. And Justin, to his credit, is having a really good season with the Jets, has been a fun quarterback for other teams. But his big problem in college was he took too many sacks. We have good metrics on this specifically, which is if your pressure to sack ratio is above 25%, you probably can't play in the NFL. And his was. It was like close to 30. It was just a problem he had. He's very fast. He's fun. The Jets have done. They get rid of him. They move on. They draft Caleb Williams. Again, same thing. Pressure to sack rate, 25%. Haven't fixed the offensive line. He comes in and he gets his brains beaten in for a year. Whatever. Bad offensive coordinator. But like, they just, history repeats itself for the Bears like no other team. It's the same thing every single time. They stagger offensive coordinators and coaches and quarterbacks. Nobody's ever on the same page. They seem to not know what they're doing in the front office. I love them. They're the best. It's like having it's Cobra Commander or Skeletor for people my age. Yeah.
Until we meet again. Villain.
Yep. Incompetent villain that you just love to be.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't know who's the bigger dolt in this situation. The fans who every preseason say, this is it. We got the quarterback. Or me who says, maybe they're right. Maybe it is their year. Because before the sentence gets out of their mouth, they're out of the running.
They are. I like their head coach. I actually think that the game they called against the Vikings was pretty good. It's just their players had no ability to execute it at all.
That's kind of part of it.
Never change Bears.
We love you, Bears. Apparently, you're moving out of the city, so we'll have more about that information, too, I guess. I know there's been a plan to put them at the old Arlington horse racing track. I don't know if that's going to be the specific spot, but they're going to move them away out of Soldier Field next to the most unparkable venue in America.
I'm not going to believe I don't like Soldier Field. I'm not going to believe that till it's done, though. They bought the land there. They own the Arlington racetrack now.
Yeah.
However, they're still trying to get public money. And
of course.
Nobody's really willing to give them public money.
No.
Not Arlington Heights, not the city. It's not the best time in America to be asking for public money for sports stadia. And so that is still very much in flux.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
again, really, really quick.
Yeah.
Just further bear incompetence. If you are trying to get public money, you need to play a different state off of your current state. You can't have the state of Illinois bargaining against the state of Illinois for moving 20 miles. You know, that doesn't work. They can just say no. What are you going to do? You didn't threaten to go to Indiana or anywhere else. You know, you threatened to stay where you are.
Yeah. We're going to go 4 train stops that way. If you don't help us, all right. I want to actually. I can't wait for you to come back because I actually want to start with this next time. I would have started with Bears City municipal bonding issues, but Paul Noonan is one of our sports gurus here every other Thursday usually. But you're great enough to join us Friday, Paul. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me. You too.
Don't go anywhere. When we wrap up the show, it's going to be with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. There Once Was a Party in Nantucket Edition. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Are you an entertainer, the star of the show, or do you like business and growing an enterprise? Maybe you prefer computers and electronics or engineering. Jobs in these fields and many more are available right now in the exciting field of radio and TV broadcasting. The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and WMDX, part of the Civic Media Radio Network, invite you to the WBA Career Fair, Wednesday, September 17th, 10 a.m. at Madison Marriott West in Middleton. Radio and TV professionals from around the state will be there to meet with you and talk about the many exciting opportunities in broadcasting. There's a lot more to radio and TV than being on camera or behind a microphone. There are also jobs in engineering and technical support, office management, clerical work, sales and computer applications, marketing and graphic design, and so much more. Come see all the exciting opportunities available in broadcasting at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Career Fair, Wednesday, September 17th at 10 a.m. at Madison Marriott West in Middleton. Call 800-236-1922 or wi-broadcasters.org.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
The John and Gordy Show.
We're talking with Mike McCabe.
We have this whole thing where people's jobs are being replaced with AI and robots.
Yeah. We have to make sure that just all of the proceeds, yes, the savings that are achieved by replacing people with machines, just don't go into the pockets of the billionaires. You've got to have a society where the benefits of technological advancements, yeah, are widely shared.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently vacating, but will be back on Monday. I know. You missed her. I missed her. She'll be back on Monday, and we're happy to have her back. But for right now, you have me, you have Sweet Cal B on the boards, and you have Angela Lang, who is a writer, organizer. She is the executive director and the founder of Black Leaders Organizing Community. She has been my co-host all morning long. Thank you so much, Angela, for being here today. I always love having you on the show and having a chance to speak with you on all the topics that you and I have a lot of opinions on.
Indeed. And always, thanks for having me.
Yeah. A couple of things before we get into Tisbat. First of all, I just want to share with some a story that I saw come across, because this has to do with what we were talking about earlier. Apparently on Fox and Friends, President Trump says he's going to be sending troops into Memphis. It is a deeply troubled city, and I'm sure you will hear more discussion on that point throughout the day here on Civic Media and throughout the days ahead and weeks ahead, because he's just sending troops everywhere. And also a clarification really quick. I've been saying all morning that I know it's maybe small, but it's important that a family member turned in Tyler Robinson to the police. He is the person who is suspected of shooting Charlie Kirk. He is the suspect in custody on suspicions of the shooting death of Charlie Kirk on Wednesday. It was a family friend who turned him in when they saw him on television. I just wanted to make that point clear, because I never want even the smallest detail to be misconstrued. But we want you to just keep it locked in here all day long. We want you to keep on listening because we're going to be talking about all these issues, and it's important conversations. We've got great programming coming through. We got Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, Pete Schwabe with Nightlight from 6 to 8, and all those shows, you're going to have a chance to enter into the Civic Media Free Ticket Friday. Get your Civic Media app out right now. Text in the word family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, on your Civic Media app, and you are entered in to win a four-pack of club-level seats to see the Brewers take on the Anaheim Angels on September the 18th. That's right. Text it in now. You'll have more chances throughout the day. Good luck. Godspeed. Take pictures. Send them to us on the Civic Media app. Boom. Branding. Calvin, it is 10:55. Again, I talk too much, and I apologize. It is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it on into Calvin, Jane, and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S at civicmedia.us. Today's Tisback comes by the way of, let's see here, it says Boston 25 News, your local station. That's very vague, but here is the title. Frank O'Loughlin has the byline. Cocaine levels in Nantucket sewage 50% above U.S. average, health data reveals. That title alone prompts so many questions.
Yes.
First of all, what are the parties I'm not being invited to in Nantucket?
I was like, what kind of parties are they throwing?
Yeah. Data from a wastewater surveillance initiative that tracks the presence of high-risk substances in Nantucket sewage revealed cocaine levels that, at times, have checked in at 50% higher than the national average. Second question, we have a national average of cocaine in our water?
Okay, my question is, I didn't know we test wastewater for drugs. Like, yeah. That was news to me when I was reading that. I'm like, how would they know? Oh, we test for that. So that was the more you know. We test water.
I got my uncle at Thanksgiving telling me how fluoride's the problem. We've got coke in our water. Apparently way more in Nantucket. And there's an average, and Nantucket is 50% above that average. I mean, let's face it, Angela, we've all been there. You're sitting at a party. Nantucket's not a nice view of the water. You're just kicking up. You're like, hey, you guys want to talk about politics? Or no, you want to do some booger sugar?
And the answer, my friends, is always no.
Correct. Just say no. Very, very important. But
say no.
Yeah.
I understand. People do things recreationally. Mm-hmm. Not my jam. But, you know, yeah. Fine. That's not recreational. If it's
no.
Like 50% above the national average.
No,
like,
that's
not a here and there thing.
That water can be arrested for intent to sell. I mean, my goodness, that's absolutely criminal water. But send the troops into the water.
That water is moving waste.
We'll definitely keep our nose to the grindstone on this story with any updates. Calvin?
One thing I found interesting about the article is while cocaine was 50% above the national average, yeah. methamphetamine and fentanyl levels yeah. were below the average. So
I saw that.
They're partying. They're just apparently not relaxing much. I don't know.
No, they need to paint a deck or write a screenplay or something, because they're Motley Crue partying up in Nantucket. That's what they're doing, let me tell you. So, but we'll keep our eyes on this story as it develops, because you never know. It's important to keep your eye on the news. Thank you, Boston, for that local news update. That is another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As I said before, Jane will be back on Monday. I'm going to take a moment here to say thank you to everyone. Thank you to Calvin. Thank you to traffic. Thank you to engineering. Without you, this show doesn't happen, doesn't get out on the airwaves. So thank you so much for your help. I want to thank the listeners, the viewers, texters, callers, commentators, whether we agree or disagree. Without you, there's no us. And I appreciate you. I want to thank Angela Lang for being my co-host twice during my time here hosting. I want to thank Dan Schaefer. I want to thank Jim Chantel. I want to thank Luke Mathers. I want to thank Dr. Kristen Lyerly. There's a whole host of people, but I want to thank everyone who helped make this possible while I was at the helm, because without you also, I can't do this. And I appreciate everything you bring to the table, your opinions, your beauty, your light, your smarts, your funnies. And I can't say thank you enough. But we're going to take ourselves a small moment to grab some water. When we come back, it'll be news. And it'll be Tom Hartman. He's taking over from 11 to 2, and there'll be another chance to win some tickets to see the Brewers. Text in the word family on the Civic Media app. You got about 45 seconds left. Until then, I want to say take care. You are absolutely awesome. Let no one tell you differently. Have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe. Stay amazing. You're listening to Matt and Air on the Civic Media. Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Bye-bye.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. President Trump just confirmed he will be at the funeral next week for conservative activist Charlie Kirk, and again blamed the left for the climate in which Kirk was assassinated. The president also justified the U.S. military presence in the Caribbean and the boarding of fishing boats.
Look, Venezuela is sending us their gang members, their drug dealers, and drugs. It's not acceptable.
No drugs were found when the Navy boarded a tuna boat searching for them. Severance has the most nominations going into the Emmys tonight.
Severance lead Adam Scott and The Pitt's Noah Wiley are also squaring off in the Best Actor in a Drama race. In the comedy categories, Seth Rogen's The Studio appears to be the odds-on favorite with 23 nominations altogether.
ABC's Mike Dubusky. Fox News host Brian Kilmeade is apologizing for saying that homeless people who don't accept public services should be given an involuntary lethal injection. This is ABC News.